Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A pair of internet radio exclusive conversations headline today's episode. FX unfolds the true saga of New York 1960s crime kingpin Bumpy Johnson, played by Forrest Whitaker, Sunday night on Godfather of Harlem. Co-creators and executive producers Chris Brancato and Paul Eckstein join me next. BET Plus hit the public 8 days ago via smart TV-connected devices and TV sets, featuring more than 1,000 hours of content and new original series First Wives Club and Bigger. We'll hook up next hour with BET Plus General Manager Devin Griffin. Some of the more unique unscripted offerings on TV come from Bright Bay Creative, formed by husband and wife pair Brandon and Jill Killian. We'll hear Brandon discuss Bright Bay's present and future later this hour. Also ahead, will Apple TV Plus content hit big theaters before big smart TVs? Josh Thomas sets his TV return, while BoJack Horseman sets its finish line. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 of your books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 75 degrees is the top of the hour this Friday afternoon, and we welcome you to the program All About Television. Third of 3 episodes we're doing today, second in the last 24 hours, and we have a great lineup in store for you, as you heard, so stick around and participate in the program. How? Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, all around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Our chat room is in business. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can be in it by going to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Chris Brancato and Paul Eckstein from Godfather of Harlem and join us live from Long Island and Los Angeles. Nice New York-LA connection after these news notes. Will Apple TV Plus invade movie theaters with some of its original content before getting into consumers via smart TVs and TV-connected products? Yes, reports the Wall Street Journal. According to the Journal's story out earlier today, Apple has contacted several theater chains about exclusive presentation of original movies for multi-week runs prior to their premieres on TV Plus. Or I should say their premieres on TV Plus. Why? Make them eligible for Academy Awards next winter. No comment pro or con from Apple. And one more Journal tidbit, Greg Foster, a former top executive at IMAX, has joined Apple as a consultant. Again, that's according to the Journal. Remember people like me, Pivot's acclaimed comedy that was put together by down-under-based talent Josh Thomas? Well, after 3 years off the TV series scene, Thomas will return January 16th with Everything's Going to Be Okay, Freeform's dramedy about a family on the skids, and Thomas and his son have to keep the fatherless clan together. Again, that will premiere in January. The finish line is ahead for popular Netflix 2 BoJack Horseman. Season 6, which begins October 25th, will be the final lap for Raphael Bob Wachsberg's creation. Wachsberg, who launched the groundbreaking animated series Undone with Michael Eisner earlier this month on Amazon, made the call to end BoJack. The final set of original episodes will debut January 31st. Now, before we get to our first guest of quickies, NBC will pilot Black Girl Magic, a New Orleans-based saga, with Gabriel Union as executive producer. Emmy-winning Big Bang Theory co-star Jim Parsons will join Hollywood, Ryan Murphy's Tinseltown miniseries coming to Netflix next May. HBO miniseries Made of Easttown, starring executive producer Kate Winslet, will bring on Gene Smart and Julianne Nicholson in key roles. And Food Network will go forward with a second season of Supermarket Stakeout, which launched this summer. Look for new episodes with Al Garcelli next March. And that is news notes for today. One of the opening night highlights of the recent Tribeca TV Festival and a recent highlight at the Apollo Theater was the premiere of Godfather of Harlem, the long-awaited new series from Epix starring Forrest Whitaker as the noted Harlem crime lord of the 1960s, Bumpy Johnson. It's a performance that is riveting, and it's featuring a wonderful cast and also direction by the man who put together 12 Years of Slave and American Crime, John Ridley. It's a stunning, stunning beginning to what may be Epic's third big hit series in a row, following Perpetual Grace Limited and Pennyworth this summer. And joining us live is the two people who put this program together. First up, someone we've had in this program before, live from Long Island, He was involved with Narcos and Netflix and First Wave on Sci-Fi. It's great to welcome back Chris Brancato. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. It's wonderful to have you back. And also joining us, sort of a New York LA connection today, the other co-creator, executive producer, Paul Eckstein. Paul, welcome in.
Hey, Simon. Thank you so much for having us.
You're very, very welcome. And Paul, we'll start with you because dramatizing Bumpy Johnson is something that you've been thinking about for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of been a part of my life since very, very early on. Bumpy Johnson was responsible for getting my stories around this character who was so influential in Harlem and New York and kind of an iconic person in the African-American community, just stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, coming off Narcos, how did you get involved with Paul and together put this series together?
Paul and I went to college together, and when we both decided to get into this crazy entertainment business shortly after college, I wanted to be a writer, and Paul was an actor at the time. He regaled me almost from the moment we got out of school about this guy, Bumpy Johnson. And he was interested in Bumpy because of his grandmother's stories. And so for a number of years, he was always saying to me, we should do something about Bumpy Johnson. The first fruition of that was in the mid to late 90s when we co-produced the movie Hoodlum together, which I wrote with Paul's help, and Lawrence Fishburne played Bumpy. And then, and that was an incredible experience for us both. Cut to 22 years later, we were approached by a couple of producers who were working with Forrest, and they said, what do you guys think about doing a television about Bumpy in the 60s? With Forrest Whitaker playing Bumpy. And Paul and I understood that that could be a really interesting avenue to explore, particularly since Bumpy was coming out of Alcatraz in 63 to a Harlem that was irrevocably changed by the civil rights movement. And so we jumped on it right away, and now we have this series thanks to Epix.
And Paul, you made this very clear. Both of you made it very clear at the Tribeca screening, which is you did not want this to be a quote-unquote gangster saga in the classic sense. You wanted this to be as much about the times of the period, civil rights, drug addiction, drug abuse, housing, the whole issues that Harlem was facing at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for us what really resonated about this story was how relevant it is today, how much of the issues that we're dealing with on the show and the drama, and the tensions are just things that we're all chewing on as people in this country right now. And it consistently stood out to me as we did our research, as we looked at the stories that we wanted to tell, how many times I find a piece of writing and just have to change the names and the location and the date. And it could be relevant to exactly what we're dealing with today. And so, you know, we knew early on that we had something that people were going to want to hear and think about. And there's something about going back in time that really allows you to examine these issues in a different way. So for me, it was it's really fulfilling.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah. I just want to say we have somebody in our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. So if you're in the room, we welcome you. If you have a question or a comment, put it in the room or give us a call at 646-652-2906. I believe we also have a caller that's been trying to get in. So try one more time, and we'll get you on as soon as we can. Chris, what's it been like for both you and Paul to work with Forrest? When you see him in this first episode, 2 seconds in, close up of him leaving his prison cell and then getting back to Harlem, you just get this sense of commitment, this sense of this is going to be a full-bodied character and this is going to be a no-nonsense character and I'm really committed to this role.
Well, there are a bunch of things to say about that. First of all, we had to write a script that would attract Forrest, even though he and his producers had come to ask us if we were interested in doing the project. Before he's going to commit to act in it, he obviously has to like the script and like the character. And so, you know, it took Paul and I at least a year to get a script that we thought was worthy of his attention. And when we gave it to him, he said, okay, I'm in. We then sold it to Epix. Michael Wright, the head of the creative head of the company, saw what we were going for right away and bought 10 episodes in the room. And now we go off to make the thing with John Ridley directing. And what I found so fascinating about Forrest is he's a very gentle man, and he's a great guy. He's an incredible leader when he's on the set. He attracts other actors to join the party, as he so clearly did. He's like catnip for actors. But Forrest also said to me in the beginning, he said, you know, I feel a little frightened. You know, I have to go home and do my homework. In other words, you'd think a guy who's been starring in movies for 40 years would sort of take it with a grain of salt when he's about to start a new project. But he had the same kind of anxiety and, you know, trepidation about filling this character's shoes as Paul and I did about writing it. And
sure.
And I think what what's so exciting about his performance here is that he displays so many facets of Bumpy Johnson, because an intellect, a poet, a philanthropist, a killer, a chess player, you know, all of these things are part of his performance. And I think, you know, he embodies it. And what makes him such a great actor is, you know, Forrest is not in real life a violent person, nor is he filled with rage. And so I think, you know, it's remarkable how good a job he did.
In fact, a number of critics who have seen the show are already counting him possibly for an Emmy Award next year as Best Actor in a Drama, and maybe some other awards as well for that series. And we're talking about Godfather of Harlem. It's a new series of epics that premieres this Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And joining us live this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, the co-creators and executive producers, Chris Brancato and Paul Eckstein. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Chris is in Long Island. We'll tell you why in a little bit. And Paul is joining us live from Los Angeles. And we want you to join in the conversation. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. Another person just got into the room, so be involved and make the most of it. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have one of the people who made Law & Order Special Victims Unit reach season 21 last night at NBC, former producer Gail Barringer. Her latest projects, Tales from the City on Netflix, and more recently, Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. And we'll also look at an interesting project the Travel Channel is doing all October. It's called Ghostover. That's right, Ghostover. The network getting more into psychics and ghosts and witches has a very interesting October set up. We'll speak with Travel Channel program executive Christine Schuler about it. And that includes a live, four-hour special about Salem witches and the network's first-ever scripted docudrama. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And 1 week from today, my re-guest will be the founder of Oscar So White and another internet radio exclusive, April Rain. That's April Rain from Oscar So White. What do you think about diversity on television? And did you think the Emmy Awards were more or less diverse than the Academy Awards? We'll hear from her 1 week from today, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Paul, what was it like to film the series in Harlem? And what kind of cooperation did you get from the city and from the area?
Well, you know, anytime you're shooting in New York, it's got to be challenging. You know, there's a lot to do and a lot of people, let alone doing a period piece where you got to worry about, you know, signs and bikes and modern things. And so, you know, there was definitely challenges. You know, I'd say, though, what was fun is, particularly in Harlem, you know, people in New York have seen it all. So when you're rolling up with trucks and cameras and so on, usually people are either got an attitude about it or pissed off you're taking their parking spot or, you know, try and, you know, blast music out of their windows so you'll give them some money to turn it down so you can film. But as soon as we mentioned that what we were doing, that we were doing the story of Bumpy Johnson in Harlem, across the board we would get respect. And then we'd say Forrest Whitaker is doing it and we get love. So one of the most rewarding parts, I think, for both of us is how much Harlem has embraced us. While we were filming, and certainly as reports came back of what we were doing and how we were doing it, now that the show is out, I'm really proud and excited to see the local reaction. Because, yeah, it's great to get great work. You know, you want all that, those accolades. But at a real core level, for me and for Chris, knowing that the people who are there, who are from this world, who are affected by this man, that they have love for this project, you know, it doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better.
Chris, one of the great things about this show is the co-stars, all of them have marvelous turns. You have people like Giancarlo Esposito, Paul Sorvino, Vincent D'Onofrio. talk about the cast, and especially the woman who plays Forest Whitaker's wife. I think she is a find.
She is. That's Ilfenesh Hadera. And, you know, as I said to you before, Simon, Forest Whitaker is catnip to actors. So the minute we started to move into high gear to do the casting, we started to look around. First of all, let's talk about his antagonist, Vincent Chin Giganti, played by Vincent D'Onofrio. What our challenge there was, you have to find an actor who you think might be able to defeat Forrest Whitaker. In other words, it needs to feel like it's an even battle. And there were a number of great actors we talked to and considered for that role, but fundamentally we'd say, well, you know what? I know from the get-go that Forrest is going to be able to beat this guy. D'Onofrio, by virtue of his incredible acting ability, but also his, you know, his physical presence, seemed like an even match. And also what Vincent does later on in the season, which is to say Giganti feigned being insane. Giganti had a deep relationship with his daughter. There are personal turns in the show that make the most of D'Onofrio's incredible acting ability. Then Giancarlo Esposito, you know, what can you say? The guy's a legend. I had considered, I had met with him to talk about him maybe doing a turn on Narcos at one point, and for scheduling reasons and such, that didn't work out. So he was our first call for this role, and, you know, Giancarlo shows up and knocks out 8 pages in a day. You know, you can almost use the first take of every shot you do with him. He's letter perfect. He's funny, and he's deep. You know, he takes it very, very seriously. Ilfenesh Hadera was somebody we were searching far and wide for, somebody who would be an appropriate, you know, a partner to Bumpy Johnson in this. Ilfenesh had been in some stuff like She's Gotta Have It and such. And at first, she's actually 33 years old. So at first we were looking for somebody just a little bit older. So she escaped our notice. But then a friend of mine in New York said, oh, you should read this Ilfenesh Hadera. And I said, okay. So I sent her in to read. And the minute we got her tape of her audition performance, her face, you know, she's beautiful, obviously. Her face sort of popped off the screen. And then as she delivered the performance, we turned to one another and said, wow, this is it. And then, you know, we were able to get incredible actors who have a lineage in mobster films, like Chaz Palminteri, like the great Paul Sorvino. You know, those people came aboard because they want to be in a show with Forrest Whitaker. And then finally, for us, the real centerpiece of the cast for this particular show is Nigel Thatch playing Malcolm X. Nigel had played Malcolm in Selma. And in fact, at first we were like, well, you know, we want to find a new Malcolm for ourselves, an actor who's playing it for the first time. But we saw some good ones. But ultimately, Nigel came in. We had him come in to read, and he was so strong. And, you know, when Paul and I were developing Bumpy in the 60s, a true fact here, Bumpy and Malcolm used to play chess at his apartment on Sundays. So we knew that Bumpy and Malcolm as characters formed what our basis for the show was, which is the collision of the criminal underworld and the civil rights movement in early 60s Harlem. So obviously you had Forrest Whitaker playing Bumpy. You're not going to get anybody better. The equivalent would be Lawrence Fishburne. And on the Malcolm side, we just needed somebody who could hold the screen with Forrest. And Nigel is just letter perfect. I mean, wait till the viewers see his performance over these 10 episodes. He's spectacular. So we got very lucky. We were very choosy about the cast, and we're very pleased with how they all performed.
And by the way, Nigel's work as Malcolm X is another scene stealer. He holds his own, and sometimes even takes every scene. And Gene Carter plays Adam Clayton Powell III, which is another to his great gallery performances.
He's incredible. I mean, yeah. You know, he Adam Clayton Powell Jr. was one of the foremost, you know, civil rights leaders from the 30s on through the 60s. And at the same time, he was a bit of a raconteur. He was a ladies' man. He loved to thumb his nose at the face, you know, in the face of white senators and congressmen in Washington. And Giancarlo plays it with incredible gusto. It's such a pleasure to have him.
Hmm. And two other things about the other rest of the cast. Again, the person that plays Forrest Whitaker's wife, there's a scene early on that is both, I won't give it away, but it's both very intense and it's very intimate. And I think it's an amazing scene right near off the bat in that program. And the other thing is D'Onofrio does a very chilling scene in the church, in a confessional. That is really something.
Yeah.
By the way, we just had some more people come into our chat room. If you have a question or comment for our guest, get on the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Paul, you were about to say something.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to add to it is, like, don't forget about the youngins. We've got some new faces to the screen, like Lucy Fry, the incredible Antoinette Crawley. You know, I think we did a great – we've got a great mix of people you've seen and people you haven't seen, and you're going to go, oh, my God, where did they come from?
And, Paul, someone else you have that wasn't talked about initially when the first press release came out is John Ridley, the Oscar-winning writer, director of 12 Years a Slave, American Crime. He's done great stuff for television ever since, and he directed at least the first episode, and I think he does a marvelous job.
Well, you know, he's an incredible talent, and I think what stands out about John is – you know, how wonderfully easy he is to work with and how much he's always bringing something to the table that makes us look at what we're doing and the choices that we've made and examine them in a different way. I mean, he's got so much experience having done this. It was great to have this kind of other view of television and how you go about making it that we could all trust and believe in.
John was so valuable on a couple of different levels. First of all, as we're moving forward towards production, he's obviously also a phenomenal writer, and so he was able to suggest grace notes. You know, he liked the script very much when he came aboard, but he was able to suggest little things, like, for instance, Bumpy comes walking in from a shootout at one point and slides his gun across the table to the clerk at the ice cream shop and says, you know, I found this outside. It's not mine. The little writing touches that brought up the material and gave Forrest little fun things to play. John's a very hard worker, and I think just had a vision for this that was fulfilled in the pilot, and we couldn't have been happier to have him aboard.
Now, did he get through the first episode, or will we see more of his work in future episodes? And who else is, by the way, writing and directing the program with you?
Well, John actually just did the pilot and then went back to cutting a movie that he had shot right before he came to work with us. And so he's pretty, you know, in general, he's usually directing his own material. We had an incredible assortment of directors. Guillermo Navarro, who's the Oscar-winning cinematographer of Pan's Labyrinth and is an excellent, excellent director, did two episodes for us. Ernest Dickerson, who's worked with Spike Lee for many years and made a number of different movies, including Juice, directed a couple of episodes. Tanya Hamilton, who's a newcomer, a woman director who had done Berlin Station for Epix and was very highly recommended, did an incredible job. And then our producing director, Joe Chappelle, who did The Wire for four seasons, was also just a major force in giving the show a kind of distinctive look. And what we were looking for, Simon, was a kind of rich period, you know, we wanted to capture the period authentically, but also give the show a sense of a kind of contemporary vibe. And what I mean by that on the production side was, you know, if we were doing a nightclub, we'd wanted to have identifiable things that you would see in a nightclub today, like, for instance, a VIP section. Or, in other words, we wanted people watching it to, again, be able to subtly draw the parallels that what we're talking about in the past is also relevant to the present. And probably no more was that evident than in our musical game plan, which was extremely ambitious. We knew we were going to have, coming out of radios and you know, source music, we'd have period music that was authentic to 1963 or before. So that's Motown, doo-wop, jazz, what have you. At the same time, we had score composed by Mark Isham, who's also an Oscar winner for A River Runs Through It. And Mark's score is what's so essential to giving us the full range of emotion that these actors display. But then finally, and I think our incredibly smart move was to hire Swizz Beatz to essentially be the executive music producer of the show and to create music that, for instance, if you're in an action montage or you're in a particular section where you can lay a piece of music over it, Swizz was responsible for creating music that was created specifically for the show. In other words, we didn't want to go out and try to license Kendrick Lamar or some huge rap artist and just glom it on the show. And many shows do that to positive effect. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted the contemporary music to be created by artists who had seen the show, who knew the sections of the show that they were writing their lyrics and creating their songs for. And so in one of the most exciting things that Paul and I have ever experienced, when we finished the 10 episodes, we literally passed them over to Swizz. And Swizz, in his recording studio on 27th Street in New York, hosts like a two-week writer's camp where every single night a different rap artist, be it Dave East, ASAP Ferg, John Legend, who's not a rap artist,
DMX.
But, you know, DMX, Rick Ross, you know, these guys were coming into the studio. They would see the pilot. Swizz would talk to them about the particular episode they were going to work on. They would look at the footage of where their song was going to go. And then Swizz would provide them with a beat that had been, you know, pre-selected or agreed upon by the artist and Swizz. And then the artists sit there kind of vibing to the beat and writing their lyrics like on the spot, which to Paul and myself was incredible.
Amazing.
And then they go into
Amazing.
The recording booth. And, you know, and they knock it out. And I think what you're going to find is this blend of period music, incredible score, and contemporary tracks that help once again draw that analogy between the past and the present and the present and the past.
The musical contribution,
yeah,
by the way, is marvelous. Yeah.
I was just going to add this. I think that one of the big things we're super blessed on is yes, Forrest is definitely candy to all the artists and such a high bar that everybody follows his lead. And then there's just the iconic nature of the story itself and what we're talking about. There's a lot of people in New York who are still around who they've been affected, like my grandmother by Bumpy, or their parents have. And constantly people would come up to us on set, whether they were a PA or an executive, and say, hey, and have a little story, have a little memory of how this man actually affected their lives. And what that resulted in, combined with Forrest, I think, is everybody really came with their A game. No matter what you were doing, and there was a dedication to this show that I just feel so overwhelmingly blessed to experience, to have all the different artists, everybody from the caterers to the production designers, who's brilliant. Dan Lee did an incredible job, to our costume designer, a young brilliant kid named Jordan Marsh, who everybody worked really hard and brought their hearts to this show like never I've seen. So, you know, I think that has a lot to do with why we have what we have.
And the A game is present all over the place. And by the way, I want to mention Mark Isham did a wonderful job with John Ridley on American Crime when that was on ABC. Also, I want to give credit to the opening title sequence. I like to know who did that, because the opening title is marvelous. It's A game. It sets the pace also for the show. And I have a hunch it could be nominated for an Emmy next year.
Well, Simon, I'm so glad you recognize that, and trust me, that was that was the result of 9 solid months of hard work. The company that made it is Digital Kitchen, incredible artists there, Mason Nichols and others, what we said was, you know, Paul and I got on the phone with them, and we sort of described what the series was: a collision of crime and civil rights, a heroin trade in Harlem, the notion of Harlem itself, the notion of gangsterism and political unrest, et cetera. And at first, what they did was they tried to sort of touch everything we had said, to a point where Paul and I looked at each other at one point, looking at the concept boards they gave us, and we realized that in trying to sort of please us, what they had done is put everything on the kitchen table, and there wasn't the distinctive point of view that Digital Kitchen itself provides. So we went back to them, and I said, hey, guys, here's the thing. I've talked too much. It's the collision of crime and civil rights. Make it badass. Don't try to please me. Just please yourself. And so they disappeared, and they came back with some new concept boards and actually three different sets. And the third set of concept boards was that kind of collage effect you had seen. They had done some great, you know, still frame images of the way collage could be used in the style of an African-American artist named Ramar Bearden. And
Puerto Rican, actually.
Excuse me for that. So Forrest and I happened to be sitting in the room when that board came in, and we looked at each other, and it's like, huh, you know what, this is what it is. And so these guys then went and used the blend of period footage that you see, archival footage, and this collage effect, and Swizz created that song with Rick Ross and DMX, which actually just was released today, it was released a week or two ago, but the music video for Just In Case was just released today. And then Isham, when we were listening to the song, said, well, what if you order it like this for the title? In other words, start with the chorus, then come into the Rick's lyrics, and then go back to the chorus. And so Isham helped us, you know, manipulate the song to be the right use for a main title. And so it was a lot of work by a lot of dedicated people. And Simon, I must admit to you that as Digital Kitchen was working like way more hours than they generally have to work on the title sequence, I kept saying to them, hey, guys, here's the end result. You'll get an Emmy nomination for title. This is how good this is.
Right.
You know, I kept floating that for them. And, they really delivered.
We have Julie from the Next Come Up popular entertainment website on our chat room, and she wanted to know, are all the episodes completed? And if not, how many to go?
The episodes for the first season are all completed, mixed, finished, musicalized, ready to go, and they'll be airing one week after another from Sunday night on. It's 10 p.m. this Sunday, September 29th on Epix, and then the following nine episodes are on at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights at Epix until we hit episode 10.
And you'll be able to stream the ones that air.
Mm-hmm. Final question to both of you. As people who grew up together, childhood buddies, what was it like for both of you to do this series together with Forrest and do it on a piece of culture, a piece of history that heretofore wasn't really known to the general public? Maybe outside of New York, it wasn't. Inside New York, certainly memorable, but outside New York, what's it like to sort of bring that to life and bring it to life together?
Well, I mean, you know, first off, as I say, like one of the things that I was always rubbed against when I was growing up, I'd be like, there's The Godfather, there's Scarface, there's all these stories about these Italian, you know, these Italian and white and Latino gangsters. Where's the story about the guy who ran Harlem for 40 years? Where's the story about the guy who really understood the concept of paying it forward and you know, sacrificing and looking ahead for the next generation? And you know, now to have that happen with Chris, and we can regale you with stories of how, you know, looking back at us walking through Harlem 25-30 years ago thinking about things, or just struggling as young artists in New York, eating eggs, scrambled eggs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you know, trying to make it. All those things are really, really true. And you know what this has taught me is one of the most important things when you have an idea and you have a vision, you got to stay in it and keep working it. And eventually other people will come in, and then you get to live here where you want to pinch yourself every day, because that's what I got to feel like. And I know Chris feels the same. We're just giggling pretty much all the time, but we also know that we've got season two to do.
The other thing is the very grandmother who Bumpy Johnson put through college said to Paul at one point, because she didn't really understand what we were trying to do with our entertainment career, she said that she had a connection and we could probably get jobs as bank tellers. So I'll never forget the day Paul and I are walking through the streets of New York, and Paul says, well, you know, if this doesn't work out, my grandma has some bank teller jobs we could take. And we both sort of laughed. And you know, now the idea that 30, 35 years later, we're doing a show based on this man who was so important to her success in life is a blessing. And the idea that we get to do it here in New York City, I'm from Teaneck, New Jersey. Paul grew up in Brooklyn. You know, we're kicking it out here in the city we love. and creating a vision of New York, of Harlem, that no longer exists. And so it's a real privilege to be able to tell that story to not only people in New York, but for people all over the country to get a chance to see what Harlem was like at the time and hopefully enjoy the show.
Godfather of Harlem, starring Forest Whitaker, premieres this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Epix. Check your local news for where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. Following episodes will be on Sunday nights at 9 Eastern Pacific. For more details about the program online, go to www.epix.com. It's www.epix.com. And Chris, before we let both of you go, there's another screening in Harlem. When is that taking place?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing a screening up at a nightclub called Mist, which is in Harlem. We're doing that Sunday night, and it's really for people who are in the Harlem area. And as Paul said before, one of the most gratifying things about our premiere at the Apollo a week or two ago was the fact, and that was for 1,300 people, was that Harlemites were coming up to us, people who had grown up there and been there basically every day of their lives, saying, "Wow, you captured it. This throws me back to that time," and that's the most gratifying thing of all, to see that, you know, the work you've done rings a bell with people who are actually there and who remember the streets in those days, and so we're grateful to the community for accepting us while we were filming, and for enjoying it and approving of it now that we're finished.
Chris Brancato, Paul Eckstein, co-creators and executive producers of Godfather of Harlem with Forest Whitaker, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on the program and coming on Epix. Hopefully this is the beginning Sunday night of a great, great run. It's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Thank you, Simon.
You're very welcome, Chris and Paul. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Chris Brancato and Paul Eckstein, co-creators, executive producers of Godfather of Harlem, joining us live from Long Island and Los Angeles, respectively. When we come back, the husband of a husband and wife production team with some very unusual takes in the world of unscripted television, Brandon Killian from Bright Break Creative, joins us live from Burbank, California. If you follow us after the bottom of the hour for web identification, this is www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. You're home for Sports Time Radio. Check it out today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Best VCR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New Web, New York. Got a great hour in store for you, wonderful guests along the way. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. We keep welcoming people in the room, and we still have our friend, that's Jody Julie from thenextcomeup.com. Our next guest, with his wife, Jill, created some time ago a very unusual company of unscripted television called Bright Bay Creative. And they're responsible for some very unique efforts in the world of the scripted, including a very popular show on Netflix called Droppin' Cash, and another one on FYI called Car Issues. Joining us live from beautiful downtown Burbank in Los Angeles, the president of Bright Bay Creative, Brandon Killian. Brandon, thanks for hanging in there.
Simon, thank you. What a great previous couple of guests you had there. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. It was a marvelous time with them. We've had Chris on before when we did First Wave of Sci-Fi and Narcos for Netflix, and he and Paul, you really hear the joy of putting that show together. And I've seen, I mentioned earlier, I saw the first episode directed by John Ridley at the Tribeca TV Festival. Great ovation for it. They had a wonderful time in Apollo. It's going to be a marvelous show, and I have a hunch that we will hear a lot more of it at any time next year. Brandon, how are things going with you and Jill on Friday?
Things are going great. Thank you. First, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the time. Things are going great. Yeah, we're out here in Burbank, California. It's not sunny today, but we'll take it. And, you know, like you mentioned, we're a husband and wife team. My wife's not with me here today, but, you know, we both are attorneys. We have a little bit varied backgrounds. She went to a little bit of a better school than I did, so I decided not to chase that profession and let her handle it. You know, my background has been legal, of course, started out in New England as an attorney and you know, transferred out here to really kind of chase the passion. And, you know, here we are 15 years later, and I'm very lucky, like you know, the folks before me, that I'm able to put a smile on every day and do the things that I like.
Why did you, both of you, decide that this was the time, or some time back, that this was the time to launch your own production company? You had a lot of experience in the world of reality scripted television. You were at Cineflix, which did Property Brothers and American Pickers. You were involved with Duck Dynasty, Auction Hunters as well. You were involved with Tom Beers, who did Deadliest Catch. What made it time for both of you to decide, let's do our own thing?
Well, look, you know, you touch on the background, and I'll kind of lead into it, because I was very, very fortunate when I first arrived out here to land at a company like Original Productions, Tom Beers's company. It was an unbelievable collection of people at the time, extreme talent, really wild days of reality TV. And so I was in the mix right from the start. I had the opportunity to be around ownership and leadership of that company, and had the opportunity to be involved in some of the big hit shows that some are still going. You know, and leading from that, I was over at Gurney Productions. I was running production for them for a period of time. I was involved, you know, with big hit show at that time was Duck Dynasty. And, you know, certainly that was a huge show at its time. And after that, yes, I did go over to Cineflix. And, you know, after that period of time and seeing the growth, you know, Cineflix, of course, being a global company, really, with the distribution arm and the U.S. arm and the Canadian arm. And, you know, it was every step of the way, it opened my eyes more and more. And so I arrived at a place now in the, you know, last couple of years where, you know, my wife and I realized, look, you know, the opportunities in this business are they're fluctuating right now. We have a number of different buyers, and buyers are switching and moving around. And, of course, the platforms are evolving. So I said, look, you know, there's no time like the present. I got the resume, got the background. You know, let's take the leap and see if we can go out there and make a name for ourselves. I've been very fortunate to be able to do so. And ironically, you know, sort of in some areas that weren't, you know, 100% what I was doing at Original Productions or at a Gurney Productions or a Cineflix. So, you know, the way we work as a team is that, you know, I'm sort of handling the production side, you know, overseeing production and post, and she handles our legal and biz affairs. And, you know, it's a bit of a challenge because you're husband and wife, you're together at home, you're together at work. We have three boys together as well. They're pretty young, so it's a busy schedule. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's enjoyable. You know, we're able to talk business and talk family. It kind of intermixes all the time. And you know, that's kind of why we decided to jump in.
Well, I welcome people into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If a question or comment for Brandon, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. And don't forget, after the top of the hour, we will have another Internet Radio exclusive interview with the general manager of BET Plus, Devin Griffin, who will join us live from Los Angeles with that. For both of you, has this been as much a free experience or freeing experience as a entrepreneurial experience, where you can pick and choose the projects that both of you want to do, and you can work with a Netflix or work with a Yahoo or work with another company you haven't worked with before?
Yeah, it absolutely has been a freeing experience. But at the same time, you know, there are obligations and commitments. You go into your own line of business, you run your own company, you have overhead, you have payroll, you have people that begin to rely on you. Now, we've all been in that position where you're relying on someone else. And so now the you know, it's turned on its head, and that does add a challenge. But the liberating aspect of it, of course, is that this company ultimately is going to do the things that, you know, she and I think are strong areas to get into, and projects that become things that we're interested in. And the company itself, as we've grown, really we've started to live in a lifestyle, sports, urban, cars, space, and coincidentally, those are things that I happen to be into. So it's really been like an opportunity to express in that way, you know, the things that are important. For instance, you look at, you know, working with a Netflix and working with the Yahoo Sports. Like, obviously, these are wonderful platforms and wonderful people to be in business with. So that's also been a blessing, and it's giving us a chance to take things like a Drop in Cash. Look, Drop in Cash as a series, it's really a fairly simple format series. And I tend to subscribe to the belief that, you know, when you overcomplicate things, when you try to check every box, and actually your previous callers, your previous guests had said that. They mentioned the ability to, you know, not try to please them, but to please, you know, for people to please themselves. You know, with a show like Drop in Cash, it's a straightforward, simple format. You don't have to overcomplicate it. It's essentially, it's a bit of an angle off of a show like Cribs. We're out there, we're following celebrities, and it's an interesting spread, I think. We have some people that you absolutely know and you're going to go towards, and they drive some eyeballs for the series. But we also pride ourselves in trying to find up-and-coming celebrities and interesting people. And what you're getting in a show like Drop in Cash is essentially a three-step format where if you know them, you're getting refamiliarized, you're seeing what they're doing. If you don't, you're finding out a bit more about who they are. Then, yes, we're going to go spend some money. We're going to go watch them do that. But that in and of itself is, you know, it needs a little more support, right? So what we do is we come in and we have them in an interview. Now, that interview, as opposed to putting them in front of the lights on a press tour, is something that's done, you know, in a vehicle on a way to go do the spend. You know, these are usually two in a half-hour format, two short-form episodes of about 11 and a half minutes. So we have the time to work with them in that and say, you know, let's dive a little deeper into your background. Let's dive a little deeper into what makes you tick. You know, some of the talent we've had on board, we find out things like, you know, there's parents that were in prison, or they were on their own, or they were raising siblings, or they had a death in the family. And in the case of one of the Cousin Stiz, which is a Boston rapper, I tend to gravitate towards Boston people. It's where I'm from. But, you know, he was talking how his career was actually the dream of his best friend who was killed. And when that happened, he felt an obligation to take that on. So when you find out these kind of backstories and these sort of reasons behind people, when you go to a store or you go and you see them spend their money and you walk with them on that, and of course we do it in a high energy kind of way, but when you're with them in that moment, they've earned it. You know, it becomes an experience that you're sharing with them. And rather than say, hey, you know, we're sort of passive, we're watching someone spend money, it's lifestyles of the rich and famous, it actually ends up being more like this guy or this gal, you know, they paid their dues. And even though we may not catch it all on TMZ and everywhere else, like every day that they're not in the news, they're working behind the scenes. They're traveling, they're doing their jobs, they're overcoming obstacles. And now seeing them go out and buy something, even if it's an aspirational high dollar item that maybe the average person can't afford, you're happy for them. You want to see that happen. And I think that the show has been successful, and I think that it really has to do with the fact that it's pretty straightforward, but at the same time, it has a lot of depth. It has a lot of personal depth, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, working for yourself has allowed Jill and I to dive into, because, you know, the more layers of control that are above you, I think the more challenging it is to sometimes drill down to the most fundamental elements of entertainment. And you know, this is one of those things that if it were over-noted and if it were over-analyzed, we would have had to throw in a lot of other things to appeal to a lot of other people. And I think that having been fundamentally sound and really about the people that you're seeing, with, of course, a payoff in terms of money being spent and items being purchased, I think it becomes a more fun ride for the viewer. And as a result, you know, we've had a lot of repeat viewership and people going from episode to episode, which, you know, is really what makes a Netflix, for example, very happy.
As someone, Brandon, who has done a lot of the more popular unscripted series for various places, are you surprised that in just the space of a couple of years, Netflix has become a power player in this field because of shows like Dropping Cash, shows like Queer Eye, shows like the Marie Kondo series, Ultimate Beastmaster, and so forth?
Netflix, yeah, no, I'm not surprised, to tell you the truth. I think, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, or maybe even 10 now, when Netflix really made their initial transition from, you know, DVDs through the mail to a real platform, it was like, okay, hey, here's an eyebrow raise. What's going on over here? But now, no. I think what makes them interesting now, for a lot of producers, certainly, you know, they have the budget to buy things and they're willing to take some risk. And also they're trying to appeal to a very broad demographic and viewer base. You know, when you look at a particular network, I won't single any out, but they generally live in a niche, right? So they're trying to attack a certain age demo and a certain, you know, background, and that's what they're after. So you really have to be super specific there. Whereas with Netflix, you can say, I have a cool idea. Let's see if they believe in it, right? And I think that the ability to take a variety of things to them right off the bat, it makes it interesting for a producer. But also, you're not – there's a bit of an old guard and a new guard, right, in terms of the linear platforms and some of the newer digital platforms. And I think when you go to a Netflix, you have a platform that's you know, structured and has smart people there, and much like the linear side. But they're also a little more adept to looking at a project and saying, maybe we don't have to check a box. Maybe it doesn't have to really nail exactly what demo X wants. You know, maybe we can take a risk here. Like the Marie Kondo, for example, tidying up, I don't know if anybody, you know, had the belief behind it that it was going to be as big as it turned out to be. But because Netflix was able to take that risk and roll those dice, they were able to have a successful show. And I think that it's really that ability and that willingness and, you know, is what drives, you know, their success. And from a producing standpoint, is it a surprise? Not so much is something that that makes, you know, that excites us, certainly. I mean, I would love to do 10 shows with Netflix. I think that they are a great platform, and, you know, I think they're really setting the pace for all these newer platforms that are coming along behind them. And you know, that's an advantage in their part, and it's a challenge because people are going to certainly, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. So I think they're going to be facing a bit of that.
We're speaking with Brandon Killian. He is the co-founder and president of Bright Bay Creative, and he was live from Burbank, California, Los Angeles way, here on Tomorrow Beach Televisor's Half Hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Brandon, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, coming Monday on Tomorrow Beach Televisor, we'll speak with one of the producers involved along the way with Law and Order Special Victims Unit, helped to get to its 21st season, which premiered last night on NBC. Her name is Gail Barringer. Currently, she's producer of the new Hulu series, Wu-Tang and American Saga, also worked on Tales from the City at Netflix. And then, Travel Channel next month becomes the month of Ghosttober. And we will speak with Christine Schubert, one of the key performing people at Travel Channel, about this very unique venture, where there'll be an original show every night. And some of the shows will be quite interesting and very different for this network, including a live four-hour show dealing with hunting down witches of Salem, and on the same theme, the first ever docudrama scripted series for that channel about the Salem witch trials. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Beach Televised. And 1 week from today, our lead guest will be the organizer of Oscars So White, April Rain. So, Brandon, what are you and Jill working on these days right now for Bright Bay?
Well, you know, a lot of what we're doing is building out in our own space. So we have a handful of projects that I wish I could dive into, but they're in that that interesting phase of development and or, you know, going to be announced soon. But we have some things. We've been focusing a lot on the buy space because we had success with dropping cash, and we've also done a show that I think you mentioned, Play It Forward, which it is, in some ways, another take on the buy space. And we really think that, you know, there is a lot of – you look at the nostalgia that's happening, right? There's a lot of shows that have been rebooted, and there's a lot of people that are looking back and saying, hey, these concepts work. How do we modernize? How do we update these things? And, you know, I think, like I said earlier, a series like Cribs, they really dove into sort of an aspirational desire in the viewer. And so we kind of turned a little bit of dropping cash on its head and say, okay, let's try Play It Forward. Let's go with some athletes. And a lot of the athletes we were talking to when we were casting for dropping cash, they really wanted to be you know, altruistic. They were interested in, you know, when you're part of a team, I think you become instilled a sense of selflessness on some level and thankfulness because you can't win on your own, right? So these guys, in a lot of ways, we're making suggestions for dropping cash. You know, we do always work with the talent and say, you know, what's interesting to you? How do we make this authentic for you? And a lot of the athletes were saying, well, I really want to buy something for someone else. And that isn't exactly the format on dropping cash. So we said, well, how would we do something like that in a way that is its own show and has its own vibe, but, you know, allows them to do for others? And so, with Yahoo Sports as a great partner, we ended up with Play It Forward, which had, you know, a number of professional football players that, you know, we focused on football players, guys like DeSean Jackson, Kirk Cousins, you know, Adrian Peterson, Keenan Allen. We even had Antonio Brown, who's been in the news a lot lately. These guys went out, for instance, Kirk Cousins. He bought a bunch of barbecue grills for his offensive and defensive line. You know, we allowed them to go and spend money in a way that was for, you know, for other people. The Griffin twins, you know, they bought some jewelry for their mom, you know, to thank her for everything she did raising them. So that buy space, that area of we're talking about an item, it's celebrity, you know, celebrity item, money, it's glitzy, the pace of the edit is fast. That's a space we like and we've been in and we're continuing to try to expand in. You know, additionally, we're looking at sports. I have an interesting series coming up that I unfortunately can't dive too much into, but it circles around the NBA. And we've interviewed over 100 pieces of talent that, you know, with a big interview push, and it's going to be a very premium offering. And you know, so the sports and the lifestyle and the urban space, you know, where I know your next guest is BET. We work a bit with them. They have a series called Rules to the Shit that we made years ago, about a year and a half ago, that dove into the world of entertainment and rap musicians and said, hey, what's the real story? You know, we thought to ourselves, who really needs the information? You know, I personally have a music division that we started recently that, you know, we've recorded some tracks with artists and we've, you know, shot some music videos. And we're moving in that direction as a company as well. And before we did that, we said, what is it that people, young people coming up in the music industry with SoundCloud and all these other platforms, what is it that they don't know? You know, as an entrepreneur, to go back to your first question, I had to learn a lot. We both did. And, you know, when there's a younger person that wants to really, you know, strike out into a business, what is it that would be helpful to them in simple terms? So we did a series of rules that essentially broke down for them through the mouths of Too Short and D-Dot Angelette and Common. These guys were all guys that were in the show. And Reggie Osee, who's passed away, and Ed Woods, who's passed away, who were big-time attorneys out of New York that were there in the Bad Boy days and were parts of, you know, the upcoming of hip-hop in New York. And we got all their real thoughts in a very simple way, like, hey, guys, read your contracts. Hey, guys, understand that when you're on tour and you're spending money, the bill will come. That's, you know, that's the record label. They want their money back. And so that – I really, really enjoyed making that show. And so I've taken that DNA – and put that together with this NBA concept. And in a lot of ways, we're speaking towards the young, the 15-year-old, the 18-year-old, the 22-year-old, who, you know, I think that in this day and age, you know, that younger generation, they have a lot of social media, they have a lot of influences, they have a lot of opinions coming at them, and a lot of them are self-serving. So we're really trying to do something. You know, I have three boys. I have three young boys. So we're really trying to do something that I can look at and point to and say, there's more than entertainment value here. There's informational value, and it's delivered in an entertaining way. So you can sit down and be entertained and see faces you like and know and hear things that are interesting, but also of value. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more companies looking to do that as we go forward. You know, whether it's social action or climate change and whatever it happens to be, we have big issues on the table these days. And so as a company, I feel, you know, some kind of a obligation to try to make programming that has more than entertainment value. And so those, you know, the buy space and that kind of space and sports, those are areas that we feel we can continue to grow in.
No question, Brandon. There's a lot of opportunity opening up, not just with BET Plus, but with the likes of Apple TV Plus, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Peacock, LX, as well as a variety of networks that are coming on the air and come on the scene in the last year or two because of smart TV sets and smart TV rights and Spirits Network to the American Health Journal channel that we had on our – the Roland Perez, the executive director, was on our program this past Monday. If you want to know more about Brandon's company, here's where you go online. It's www.brightbaycreative.com. That's www.brightbaycreative.com. And check out the variety of shows you do, including a show called Fuck. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but check it out. It's a very interesting show, one of the best things I think that this company has done. Brandon, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations to you and Jill on the wonderful work you've done so far for various networks, and hopefully much more to come. We'd love to have you back anytime you like.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to talk with you.
You too, Brandon. Have a super weekend.
All right.
Brandon Killian, president and co-founder with his wife, Jill, of Bright Bay Creative, joining us live from beautiful downtown Burbank, California in Los Angeles. More tomorrow, we'll be televised coming away, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Do you want an inspiring read, or inspiring audio read, I should say? Well, how about this one from Rachel Hollis? It's called Girls Stop Apologizing. It's all about being a more empowered person. And it's exclusive to Audible.com, and you can get it right now with a trial run, a one-month trial run of this terrific service. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from, and a growing number of that catalog is Audible Originals. It's original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from around the nation and the world, and original one-woman, one-person shows. And the best thing is you can listen to any of these wonderful audio titles on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio Speaker or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Not one, not two, but you get three free audio books in a one-month trial. And, of course, the great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself today how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Just go to audibletrial.com/televised and get going and have your ears do all the rest. When we come back at the top of the hour, we will be joined live from Los Angeles by the general manager of BET Plus and an internet radio exclusive, Devin Griffin. It's 8 days since BET Plus premiered. How is it doing? We'll find out right from the source. He will join us live after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, your home for the best internet radio possible, and www.speaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, you can catch Off the Clip Radio. It's Off the Cup Radio. It's great radio, lots of good music, entertainment, and more. Off the Cup Radio tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Best VTR, as always, 24/7 at YouTube.com and also on YouTube through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Welcome back to the Lobby Televised on this Friday afternoon, last one of September 2019. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weather, York. 75 degrees at the top of the hour. This is the program all about television. It's been a fun one so far. And we've got another great guest for you in the half hour ahead. So be interactive with us. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And we got a very busy chat room going. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. And still with us on the chat room is Julie from the Next Come Up Wonderful Entertainment News and Pop Culture site. So be involved by our chat room. Either way, we will get you involved. And right now, being involved with us in an interradio exclusive, 8 days after BET Plus first came on the scene through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, the general manager of the service, Devin Griffin, live from Los Angeles. Hello, Devin.
Hey, good afternoon, Simon. How are you?
It is a pleasure, and a good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for tuning us in. It's been a whirlwind for you, not only the last 8 days, but the few weeks before it.
It has been. You know, we have come out of the gates really, really strong with a lot of great feedback, a lot of great excitement and interest from our fans. And we just feel really, really fortunate that we've been able to bring the product, bring the experience and the service to the world, like you said, across television sets and all manner of different devices. So we are at the very beginning here, but extremely excited.
How would you catalog the first 8 days of this service's existence, and what are you learning about the audience reaction? What is the most important thing you and your staff are getting?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the highest level, we aren't terribly surprised around the fact that, I don't mean to say that in a disingenuous way. I think that we're not surprised that, you know, television series are the things that people are watching the most, and that's something that I think everyone out there in the space sees. That's not a surprise. I think that the thing that we've really gotten excited about is just the really strong reaction we've had to our original series that we take so much pride in being able to fold into our offering. So, you know, we felt really great about First Wives Club, and then also the response that we're getting to Bigger as well has been great, especially, you know, given that, you know, we gave folks a taste of the first few episodes, and then we just rolled out episode 4 yesterday morning, very, very early. So it's really great to see how well those things are being viewed.
Let's go back to the original shows, the first two of them. First Wives Club got a great screening at the Rebecca TV Festival, along with Godfather of Harlem on the same night. Very good reaction from the crowd there. This is a show from Tracy Oliver, based on the famous movie, with a very unique cast. What's the reaction been to that? And that's the one that the critics of the two have really focused on.
Yeah, you know, Tracy Oliver, as you mentioned, is a huge talent. You know, a great you know, collaborator here at BET Plus and at BET more broadly. We're so excited to be working with her and with, you know, Michelle Buteau, Jill Scott, all the great talent there, Mark Tallman, Ron Rico. The whole cast is so great, and I think that, you know, the story really resonates with people. And, you know, I think that it's for us an exciting moment for BET because it's the first moment where we have been able to provide a show all at once, and then just seeing people, you know, just chew through the whole thing, really watch it with great excitement has been a real delight for us.
In watching the opening episode, one thing that came out was that New York, just like Godfather of Harlem, which we had on earlier, is as much a character in this show as anything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it certainly is. I think that anytime you have the opportunity to tell stories in New York, you have to make it a character, you know, whether it's, you know, just the sort of setups in terms of, you know, the brownstones in Brooklyn where, you know, Michelle's character is, or, you know, just the entire energy that you have when you're moving around in the streets and shooting there is definitely a big part of the story.
Now, the other original show is bigger. It's the first one provided by Will Packer. Of course, Girls Trip, all the great movies he's done. Now he's doing a lot of original series for different places, and this is his first one for BET Plus and BET. It's of the two, it's the one that has not gotten a lot of critical attention. Talk more about that. It's really called Peachtree Plaza, and it's more in the comedy vein. Talk more about that show and how that has been received.
Yeah, you know, Will is just such a huge, undeniable, you know, unparalleled talent. We are so fortunate to have him bring his talents and really to give him, I think, a really kind of open and clean canvas to really push boundaries. You know, this is a show which, again, you know, Will can talk about it way better than I can, but the fact that we are pushing the boundaries in terms of, you know, the edginess of the show, the subject matter of the show, is something that's hugely important to us creatively in terms of being a partner to storytellers out in town around Hollywood, as well as new voices. The fact that, you know, the cast is effectively all new, exciting, extremely talented faces that you know we feel really excited about, you know, being able to bring to the world. That's really imperative to our legacy as being a part of BET Networks. And then, you know, the fans. I mean, just yesterday we had some clients of ours, or I should say the other way around. We had a vendor come in the office, and completely unprompted, one of the guys there was like, "Oh my gosh, like Bigger is really an awesome, incredible show. It's a favorite show. It's my favorite show on the service." And I think that the benefit that we have technology wise is that we can really try to put that show in front of the people who will love it. So what we've seen is that, you know, fans are really loving the show, embracing the show. They are, you know, absolutely, you know, excited to get more. And, you know, we're doing the best we can to make sure that we can provide more and more of the show over the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. What does the appeal of both shows say about how the original content is going to go? Is it already starting to suggest to you that maybe we've got to do more original content than we think, quicker than we originally thought?
I think that the really positive response to the shows just tells us that we do need to stay on the path of, you know, rolling out original content as frequently as possible. We are, you know, I think the thing that we are really trying to emphasize is that it's our plan to have a new original just about every month as we go. So, you know, pretty soon we should be talking about October and November releases. We're really, really excited about the series that we're coming out with next month. It harkens back to a beloved IP that is a known BET IP with stories of these really amazing people that have navigated very tricky circumstances. And then, you know, later in the year, we're very excited to do, you know, not exactly breaking new talent, but giving, you know, a kind of another shot at showing some love to and providing a platform to really amazing, you know, artists who has been on a national stage, but has never really had his time to shine, in his own words and kind of, in his own container. So we are excited about what the balance of the year has to follow. And then, you know, we're going to be, again, sort of like on the hamster wheel, just continuing to run to make sure that we can keep cranking things out, because of the content that gets watched on the service, originals is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to originals in a bit, but of the fact you have more than 1,000 hours of content, in terms of the rest of the package, anything in these first 8 days is breaking out with the audience, that there's a particular title, particular movie, particular original series in the library side of things that is breaking out or finding a new audience through BET Plus?
Yeah. I mean, we are seeing fantastic watching around, a whole host of shows. So, you know, whether it be Martin, which is no surprise, right? That's a longstanding fan favorite. People are really loving, you know, Single Ladies. There's a lot of watching around Meet the Browns, both the series and the films. I'm sorry, and the film. You know, as well as, you know, other Tyler Perry titles. I mean, I think that, you know, again, Tyler is pretty much undefeated. So the fact that folks are loving his films as well as his television shows are, you know, for us really, really reaffirming, because he's a massive part of our business and also of our model.
You are hearing live Devin Griffin, the general manager of BET Plus, now in its eighth day of existence, through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. He joins us live from Los Angeles in an inter-radio exclusive right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Albarn with you live from New York City, Friday at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us on this final Friday of September 2019, and we invite you to be involved in the conversation. So simple. Make the call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, coming up on our program Monday, we'll have Gail Barringer, the producer of the new Hulu series Wu-Tang and American Saga, and earlier, one of the producers of Law & Order Special Victims Unit, which last night began its record-breaking 21st season on NBC, now the longest-running original dramatic hour in the history of the medium. Also, we'll have Travel Channel executive Christine Schuler with us. Color Network is about to do a very unusual project where October becomes Ghosttober, with an original program every night and some very unique efforts, including a live ghost hunting type series about Salem witches and the network's first ever scripted docudrama about the Salem witch trial. It's all coming up Monday, BTM Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And once again, 1 week from today, our first guest will be the organizer of Oscars So White. She was at Diversity Week last week. Renee Mick, that's April Rain, live in person with us here next Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You mentioned Tyler Perry. Tyler is a big part of BET+. He's currently working on two original series for BET that are going to launch late next month. When will we start to see original programming from him that will be initially and made for BET+?
It'll be very soon. We've got a lot of plates spinning, and we're just not able to talk about exactly when his content will be coming to us. We're in terms of the original stuff, we're extremely excited, because next month, I believe actually on the first, we're going to be offering some of his stage plays, which have been highly popular, clamored for, and asked about by, you know, our fans and our audience members. So we're really excited to bring out, I think it may be for the first time, two of Tyler's stage plays, as well as some additional television content from him in the form of House of Pain.
And it's coming at a very exciting time for him, because next weekend he will launch his brand new studio in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, I'm so excited about that. That is going to be an epic moment for our business, and just a massively deserved, very cool moment that I think that there will be some pretty cool things coming out of that as well, in terms of some of the whispers that I'm hearing. Very cool stuff.
Before we get to the reaction from other producers of color and creators of color, what's it been like these last few weeks to put this together? Because this service was announced very quickly. It went on the air very quickly. You're now in week number two. How has the fact that you had to put this thing on in such quick order, line up the programming, line up the distribution, line up the smart TV set makers and device makers and other platforms to put the programming over, what's it been like for you and your team to work on that kind of accelerated time frame to make this happen?
Well, you know, the reality of it is that this business has been germinating inside the walls of Viacom for the greater part of a year and a half, more or less. So, you know, it would be disingenuous for me to suggest that we were able to, you know, whip up the technology, whip up the deals, all of that, and the amount of time that we've been sort of public with it. And in fact, you know, our team on the technology side has just been tirelessly working on, you know, building out an in-house platform that Viacom uses to power not only what it is we're doing, the Noggin business, which is a part of Nickelodeon, internationally, be it, you know, MTV UK or Paramount Plus has some stuff in Latin America. You know, all the way from the top, you know, Bob Bakish had a vision that you know, Viacom should build tools that can be leveraged across so many different brands, regardless of geography. So that's been in motion. Again, I'm still fairly new, but I think that's been in motion for something like 4 or 5 years. And so on top of the sort of back of that, you know, BET Plus was built. So Dan Reich and his team on the product side have been absolutely, you know, wonderful, thoughtful, and you know, we've been able to leverage all of their hard work. And then, you know, inside of BET, you know, when the idea for BET Plus really started to grow legs, you know, my boss Scott Mills was truly the visionary on that, in that he saw an opportunity. He ushered, you know, lots of research and support. And then, you know, I'm just the guy that gets to sort of raise the trophy at the top of the hill. But you know, I have amazing colleagues and, you know, Sean Gupta and also Tyel Hayes, who have really, really been sort of, you know, doing all of the trial work and making sure that that like all the seeds could be planted. And then, you know, over the last few months is really when we were sort of connecting dots, like you mentioned, on the distribution side, making sure our content was all sort of lined up. And then, you know, again, you know, on the content side, you know, you can't really sort of announce something and then 4 months later have a show of the quality of First Wives Club or bigger. So, you know, again, you know, whether it's, you know, Connie Orlando and, you know, her amazing team that have done a ton of great work and ushering things through on a very short timeline, and making sure that we would be ready. It truly has been a team effort across many, many organizations inside of Viacom and also inside of BET to make all of this come to life.
Let's go back to the original programming. Obviously, with BET Plus up and running, there has to be like a multitude of reaction from series producers, creators, directors of color saying, we want to be part of this, and like flooding you with proposals. Has that been happening? And if so, what's your impressions about the interest level among this growing base of talent that wants to be involved?
You know, we have been really fortunate in that we have a very consistent flow of, you know, like you said, pitches, fantastic ideas, proposals that we get to take a look at, and also like having the opportunity to partner with the creative community and bringing their ideas to life in a way that BET Plus uniquely can. We put a lot of emphasis on not only working with, you know, the best and brightest, you know, veteran established storytellers, but we also want to make sure that we continue to lean on the opportunity to sort of create an on-ramp into the business for new talent. So, you know, as I mentioned, we have a lot of work, you know, to get through. We're really fortunate in that, you know, folks do come to us with real frequency around projects that they're very excited about. So, you know, it's really on for us to, you know, after this call, you know, getting into scripts, looking at treatments, and just continuing to do the work.
Mm-hmm. And how do you develop this on-ramp, given the fact that we now have, for example, we talked about this when we saw each other at the Tribeca TV Festival, that you have all these TV festivals around the country, New York Television Festival, we have Roughbook, which is coming up next weekend, we have festivals in Chicago, Los Angeles, what was ITVF, now it's another name that's going in Duluth, Minnesota, later in October, all these festivals. More and more having people of color being involved and want to break in. How do you develop this on-ramp?
Well, you know, I'm really fortunate to be working with folks, you know, who have, you know, really deep relationships and, you know, really meaningful work that they've done, you know, in the industry collectively. You know, I'm sure it's well north of, you know, 100 years of experience, and I'm sure, you know, scores and scores of relationships. So whether it's, you know, Robbie Reed, who is an absolute institution on the casting side of things, or, you know, my colleague, you know, Rose Catherine, who has been at various networks over the years, and, you know, there's not a writer in town that she doesn't know or a producer who she hasn't worked with. So it's really about, you know, how Connie and Rose Catherine and Robbie, from a talent standpoint, are making sure that they are getting out in front of the right people and the right places, so that when there, you know, when there is a new voice, when there is something new, that, you know, we can be a part of that conversation, in making sure that we can continue to, you know, infuse new talent into the things that we're a part of.
Devin, one other on-ramp that you have already is BET Digital, what Kelly Day is doing at Viacom Digital Studios. She was at the Future of TV Forum here in New York on Tuesday. I asked her whether there would be a relationship with BET Plus. She seems to say that's not the moment. But have you talked to Kelly? Will you talk to Kelly about the possibility of taking some of her products and bringing it to the service?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, just over the last couple of weeks, I know that, you know, we added to our team a really outstanding talent that has, you know, worked on amazing brands from, you know, from Ebony to ESPN, The Undefeated, and Amy Barnett, who is going to be really, you know, steering the ship on the BET Digital side. And, you know, Amy and I have had a chance to sit down a couple of times and really think about the ways that we can start to really collaborate, because I think you're absolutely right. There are things that we will do that are experimental, that are quick turnaround, that we can leverage from the digital side into, you know, planting seeds for that might sprout for us on BET Plus. It is 100% an area of focus and a future investment for us.
By the way, also at that Future of TV Forum, we had some wonderful presentations from Mike Vorhaus, the former Magid advisor. Executive. Now he's his own firm, Vorhaus Advisors, and he'll be with us on October 7th on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's got some very interesting stats and figures about where things are at with smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and what will be happening in this environment of BET Plus and Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus and now Food Network Kitchen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So watch out for Mike. He'll be with us a week from Monday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We just came off Advertising Week here in New York, Devin, and one of the things that people are thinking about is this idea of services like BET Plus, Peacock, HBO Max, developing different formats where you have a commercial-free format and you have an advertise-supported format. Has there been any talk since the launch about maybe offering BET Plus as a partially ad-supported format so that you might be able to draw additional revenue, particularly for original programming?
You know, it's not something that we have specifically discussed. You know, we have really been heads down and trying to understand, you know, the subscribers who have been, you know, great advocates and great and who have embraced us warmly from the outset, really trying to super serve them, understand how we can, you know, build on the great momentum that we have coming out of the gates. It's certainly something that you know, could be under consideration in the future, though.
And finally, with Viacom, which is the parent of BET, and CBS merging before the end of the year, what kind of future – is there now a future beyond what you originally thought for BET Plus when those two entities merge? Because you got a sense from Backish on conference calls when the merger deal was announced a week or so ago that they see BET Plus, they see CBS All Access as just the beginning of a whole wave of direct-to-consumer services using smart TV sets and devices and trying all sorts of things.
You know, I think we're all excited about what's to come for the company and for the merged companies, but, you know, I'm just not in a position where I can, you know, sort of speculate or talk about any plans that might relate directly to the BET Plus business around that part.
And finally, for you, have you taken a breath in all this? And what do you make now that you've had the time, now that it's existing? It's not an entity now that's like nebulous. It's not you're about to launch. You're launched. In fact, you have like 15,000 Facebook followers already as of this morning. What's it like for you now to take a breath and see and look and say, okay, now we've got this launched. Now I can start plotting the future with my team, with the people around me.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could confirm for you that I've taken a breath. I haven't yet. You know, we are fortunate in that we're just really starting to like get to pour through the data. I think that once that really starts to kind of settle in, we'll figure out, you know, what other kind of nooks and crannies we want to look in, how, you know, and also how we get smarter. And then, you know, to be honest, I've been sort of running full speed ahead for the full, you know, 4 or 5 months I've been here. So I definitely owe my wife and my kids, you know, more than a couple of days, so I can take a proper breath. And then, you know, I think we'll just jump back in after a little bit of a refresh.
One more thing before we let you go. Do we know yet what the original prom will be for October, November, rest of the year?
We will be talking about that shortly. We have a few more I's to dots and T's to cross.
Well, we can say that one of the upcoming projects is a made-for-TV movie that may be a pilot with a wonderful actress named Paula Patton and also an actress from a series that we profiled on BET over a year ago called In Contempt that was put together by former Law & Order producer Terry Kopp. We understand that BET has since canceled the show. The announcement was made earlier this week, but Erica Ash, the wonderful actress from In Contempt, is going to be part of this movie.
Well, you know, we do know that we will be having something involving, like you mentioned, Paula Patton for sure. And then as I shared, we're very, very excited to have two of Tyler Perry's stage plays as well as House of Pain starting early next month. So definitely have that to look forward to.
And if people want to get BET Plus, what do they do? How much does it cost and where do they go?
Yeah, BET Plus is available on your smart TV devices, right? So you can download it on any Android TV device. You can download it on any Amazon Fire TV or Fire TV device, as well as through the App Store on Apple, through the Android Google Play Store, and then if you've got Amazon channels or Apple channels, you can access it through all those things. So we strongly encourage you, curl up on the couch. Fire up your television, get to it however works best for you, and, you know, certainly appreciate anybody giving us a look. We are really excited about what we have to offer.
And for more details online about BET Plus, here's where you go, www.bet.com/BET Plus. That's www.bet.com/BET Plus, and you can also find them on Facebook and on Twitter. Devin Griffin, the general manager of BET Plus, thank you for making the time on this Friday afternoon. Congratulations on your first week and a day of your service, and hopefully much, much more to come, original and library, et cetera, down the road. And it's a pleasure to have you aboard. And we're looking forward, by the way, to covering your original shows as they get on your network.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon. It's completely my pleasure. You're fantastic. And thanks again.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. A pleasure on my end, too. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too. Cheers. Thank you.
Devin Griffith, the general manager of BET Plus, joining us live from Los Angeles. Thanks to all of our guests for being here and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, on Monday, we will have producer Gail Barringer from Wu-Tang American Saga and Tribal Chow executive Christine Schuler. And next Friday, Oscars So White organizer April Rain, an internet radio exclusive. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, make it so easy for you to do so this weekend, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version. Also available all weekend on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker's podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. Just go to that website, put Smart Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are in. And remember, we'd love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toth is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Steinberg is executive content producer. And the co-founders, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we talk about is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free one-month trial and three free audiobooks, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back on Monday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, last Monday and day of September. You know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.